police brutality is very obvious in our standpoint.
Weekend protest shows some changes, but not all, in Hong Kong. It's Monday, October 14th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melbourne in Washington. Also ahead, a high-ranking Australian official has some harsh words for China. We take a look at an Asian-American looking to become the next president of the United States. And some U.S. companies are hurting in the wake of Hong Kong protests. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Hong Kong pro-democracy groups scaled down demonstrations over the weekend, for a while at least, as government officials increasingly categorized the protest as a threat to public safety and equate violence committed by activists with domestic terrorism. For the past 4 months, Hong Kong has been disrupted by often massive and violent protests against what is seen as Beijing's efforts to erode the autonomy and civil liberties that the Chinese ruled city enjoys under its one country, two system model. On a rainy Sunday, over 1,000 protesters lined the balconies of a shopping mall in central Hong Kong, chanting "Fight for Freedom." Some masked activists in the mall disrupted a suspected Chinese-owned restaurant by sending in hundreds of fake food orders on electronic kiosks. At police headquarters, a group of senior citizens called the Silver-Haired Marchers held a weekend-long sit-in at police headquarters to show support for the predominantly young protesters. A group of demonstrators made paper-folding cranes at an event in Kowloon across from Hong Kong Island. However, an expected rally in a Causeway Bay shopping district did not happen in an area where last week tens of thousands participated in a march across the city center. Anita Powell has further details from Hong Kong.
Fighting for peace. Protests have shaken Hong Kong for nearly 4 months, with growing tensions and violence. But this weekend's protests, the 19th week in a row, were smaller than the previous actions and largely peaceful, with only scattered reports of tear gas, arrests, and clashes with police. Police said Sunday, in a statement, that they used the minimum necessary force to disperse protesters, including the deployment of tear gas. Since June, millions of residents of this small, tightly packed economic hub have jammed the streets to demand reform. Protesters feel Beijing is tightening its grip over the city, under Chinese control since 1997. This year's protests started over a now-withdrawn extradition bill, but evolved to larger demands for greater freedoms and civil liberties. Recent protests have resulted in clashes between police and protesters and provoked condemnation from pro-Beijing officials, who call the emboldened protesters terrorists. However, police have inflicted the gravest casualties, recently shooting two teenagers at close range. University student and volunteer medic Angus, who, like many protesters, declined to give his full name, says he thinks police have gotten bolder.
Police brutality is very obvious in our standpoint. We saw batons hitting protesters' heads continuously. We saw a rubber bullet hitting eyes, that kind of serious injuries.
But the smaller, quieter crowd is no less spirited. Thousands of people marched through the Mong Kok shopping district Saturday, and some protesters vandalized pro-China businesses. But the crowd was largely peaceful and included parents with young children and elderly Hong Kongers who acted as human shields between police and protesters. Young people have been especially active and say they're not backing down in the face of obstacles. The government has banned gatherings and the wearing of face masks, rules many are openly flouting, like this 17-year-old student who did not give her name.
Everyone is important. If I don't come out and other people just like think like, oh, I'm so tired, I won't come out, then there won't be enough people to tell the government that what they are doing is wrong.
At police headquarters, elderly Hong Kongers camped overnight to make their demands known. They say they're committed to peaceful protest. Protester Peter Chen was born and raised in this city.
If the society is in a chaos, it's not good for Hong Kong future. So that the throw bomb no use, we should use. Just like candy in India, protest with people but not use force.
Instead, the latest protests made use of a different force in this shopper's paradise, money. masked protesters thronged high-end malls on Sunday to disrupt and protest China-friendly businesses. They waved American and British flags and sang patriotic songs. Their voices may be quieter, but the message is loud and clear. Anita Powell, VOA News, Hong Kong.
We invite you to read more on our top story by following us on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the voanews.com website. These are among the top Asia stories you'll find right now. Pakistan's Prime Minister Imran Khan held talks Sunday with leaders in Iran to formally begin a diplomatic offensive he said was aimed at defusing the neighboring country's escalating tensions with Saudi Arabia and the United States. As Cambodia's opposition leader plans a return, the government cracks down. Many of Sam Rainsy's supporters have fled or gone into hiding as authorities make arrests and issue summons. China's President Xi Jinping warned Sunday that any attempt to divide China will be crushed as Beijing faces political challenges and months-long protest in Hong Kong and U.S. criticism over its treatment of Muslim minority groups. Expanded coverage of these stories and more you'll find on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the voanews.com website. One of Australia's most senior government ministers has accused the Chinese Communist Party of behaving in ways that are inconsistent with his country's values. Home Affairs Minister Peter Dutton warned Canberra would work to counter foreign interference in Australian universities as well as cyber espionage. Phil Mercer reports from Sydney.
Peter Dutton's comments are some of the most uncompromising language yet from an Australian government minister on the perceived threat posed by China. Tensions between Canberra and Beijing have risen in recent times because of allegations of cyber attacks by China and that it's meddled in Australia's domestic politics. There's also been friction over the detention of a Chinese-Australian writer in Beijing and differences over Chinese territorial claims in the South China Sea. Australia also has concerns about Chinese interference in its universities, including allegations that students who've supported democracy protests in Hong Kong have been harassed or monitored by Chinese agents on campus. Peter Dutton says Australia must be wary of China's ambitions.
My issue is with the Communist Party of China and their policies to the extent that they're inconsistent with our own values. And in a democracy like ours, we encourage freedom of speech, freedom of expression, thought, and if that's being impinged, if people are operating outside of the law, then whether they're from China or from any other country, we're right to call that out.
The comments prompted a stinging response from the Chinese government. A foreign ministry spokesman, Geng Shuang, told a press conference that he hoped Australia will reject the Cold War mentality and bias and work to advance bilateral relations and mutual trust. The Chinese embassy in Canberra said it rejected Mr. Dutton's irrational accusations, which are shocking and baseless. Australia is a liberal, middle-ranking world power. China is its biggest trading partner by some distance, and three of the main pillars of the Australian economy, mining, tourism and education, rely heavily on demand from China. The challenge for Australia, which has a close military alliance with the United States, is to be able to criticise and challenge China while maintaining a key trade relationship that's underpinned its recent prosperity. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Happening now in Asia, Typhoon Hagibis killed 23 people and briefly paralyzed Tokyo, while 16 people are still missing, according to public broadcaster NHK. Japan sent tens of thousands of troops and rescue workers to save stranded residents and fight floods caused by one of the worst typhoons to hit the country in recent history. Stay up to date with VOA. This is VOA Asia. There are more than a dozen candidates running against U.S. President Donald Trump in the next presidential race, but one Democrat who is standing out in the Asian American community is entrepreneur Andrew Yang. He may not be one of the top three candidates in the Democratic Party, but he is the first Asian American candidate to make a serious run for the White House. He's qualified for the next Democratic presidential primary debate near Atlanta, Georgia on October 15th, while other Democrats have not. VOA's Elizabeth Lee reports from one of Yang's rallies in Los Angeles.
This looks more like a rock concert than a political rally. Andrew Yang appeals to many of his younger, tech-savvy supporters because of what he represents.
I'm very proud of being the first Asian American man to run for president as a Democrat.
Yang is an entrepreneur born in New York of parents from Taiwan. A classmate remembers him as someone who stood out, even in high school where there was a dress code.
It was hard not to miss him. Sometimes he would show up in... We were supposed to be in a sports coat. He'd be in a trench coat.
Yeah, you have record high GDP.
A lot of people say he's the long shot or the random man who's running for president. But really, this gives people hope that you could be anybody with brilliant ideas.
Honestly, I didn't think this would happen for like another like 10, 20 years. It's insane to me because, you know, we don't have as much representation in the West as we'd like. So this is like a giant step.
This is a Yang Gang America!
Yeah, I was politically disengaged forever until I heard about Andrew Yang. This is my first time making a political donation.
The internet is where many of Yang's supporters first noticed him.
Yang! Yang!
Many of Yang's supporters say they're not here because he's Asian American. They support him because of his policies.
Yang says machines and artificial intelligence will be replacing jobs. He proposes a universal basic income of $1,000 a month for all adults, paid for, he says, by companies that benefit from automation.
The $1,000 is going to balance out the economy for a lot of people. I think, especially in the U.S. right now, a lot of people are surviving. They have to work two jobs, three jobs to survive.
I wouldn't have to work a side job while I'm going to school.
And I am the ideal candidate for that job because the opposite of Donald Trump is an Asian man who likes math.
Not all Asian Americans approve of how Yang is portraying himself as a smart Asian who is good at math.
I am very concerned because I think that, unfortunately, we live in a country that will extrapolate from one single person the entire group.
There's an Asian man running for president
will,
who wants to get
use typical model minority stereotypes that Asian Americans are trying to distance themselves from that doesn't encompass the entire group.
But in other ways, Yang is also going against stereotypes.
That's right, I did some math.
And so by cursing, he definitely is going against the kind of very docile and, you know, Asian that doesn't want to make waves.
Even with this kind of turnout at this rally, Yang, for the moment, is still a long shot.
People said the same thing about Donald Trump 3 years ago. He was a long shot. Look what happened now. He's sitting in the White House.
Yang and his supporters say, don't underestimate what the power of the internet can do. Elizabeth Lee, VOA News, Los Angeles.
Coming your way, some U.S. companies are being drawn into the controversy surrounding the Hong Kong protests. This is VOA Asia.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook. VOA Asia is also on Twitter and YouTube. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, read, and share all the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news, information, and great features.
This news from VOA Asia, Chinese President Xi Jinping wound up 2 days of meetings in Nepal Sunday with separate deals for a rail link to Tibet and a tunnel, according to an official, as the Himalayan nation seeks to end an Indian dominance over its trade routes by increasing connectivity with Beijing. The 70-kilometer rail link will connect Giron in Tibet with Nepal's capital city of Kathmandu. You're listening to VOA Asia. We continue now with Hong Kong anti-government protests ongoing. Tech companies in the U.S. are being drawn into the crisis. The standoff between China and protesters has led some U.S. tech firms to curtail services. More from Michelle Quinn.
anti-government protests in Hong Kong show no signs of dying down. And now, U.S. tech firms have found themselves drawn into the crisis. Responding to the Chinese government, Apple rejected an app that Hong Kong protesters and residents use to alert each other where police are. Tim Cook, Apple's CEO, said that Hong Kong authorities said the app was used to target individual officers for violence, a claim that the app's creator and Hong Kong activists deny. Apple relies on China for manufacturing and 20% of its global sales.
Apple, I mean, what is it going to do if China kicks Apple out? That's an existential threat to a trillion-dollar company. So that's what makes me suspicious of that's an awful lot for Tim Cook's personal integrity to go up against.
It isn't just Apple. Google, which has debated going into China, booted a role-playing game from its app store that allowed people to simulate being a Hong Kong protester. The company says the game violated its sensitive events policy.
Google wishes it could avoid all sensitive events. It doesn't want to be taking sides whatsoever. But I could have also seen Google deciding that this was not a sensitive event. This was actually something that was both a game to play, but also one that could educate people who are trying to actualize their humanity.
California game maker Activision Blizzard, which has a joint venture with a Chinese telecommunications firm, punished a professional gamer who had won one of its tournaments after he made a pro-Hong Kong protest statement.
As always,
for game developer Mark Kern, the company's reaction was surprising.
That's not just games staying out of politics. That's a game company directly inserting itself into politics. And I think that, for me, that just crossed the line.
The gaming community is typically not very political, but some got together to turn a character from a popular Activision Blizzard game into a Hong Kong protester.
This says May can't is fighting for freedom. She can't do it alone. Liberate Hong Kong.
U.S. tech firms may want to stay out of the Hong Kong crisis, but increasingly they are being drawn in, forced to choose between users and the wishes of the Chinese government. Michelle Quinn, VOA News, San Francisco.
This news break from VOA Asia, Indian police and intelligence agencies detained a freelancer for the Voice of America's Tibetan service as he arrived in Chennai Friday to cover the informal summit between Indian Prime Minister Modi and Chinese President Xi. A freelancer for Radio Free Asia's Tibetan service was also detained. Both VOA and RFA are part of the U.S. Agency for Global Media. All the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Some U.S. veterans with post-traumatic stress and anxiety are turning to beekeeping to help relieve their symptoms. Early research indicates that beekeeping provides therapeutic benefits for veterans by helping them focus, relax, and become more productive. VOA's Deborah Block visited a beekeeping program at the Veterans Affairs Center in Manchester, New Hampshire, which some veterans say is doing wonders for them.
These veterans are busy as a bee, learning beekeeping as part of a recreation therapy program at New Hampshire's Veterans Affairs Center.
It's fun. I love doing it. You know, I used to be afraid of bees.
Since the program started 6 months ago, these veterans have learned about the queens and drones, and of course, about honey.
There's a hornet over here. Should I knock him out?
I love coming here. It's just so exciting.
Vince Littleau spent nearly 40 years in the military, which included two tours in Iraq. One day, a roadside bomb blew up next to his convoy.
I had one of them that actually blew up in my face that I really didn't like, that really upset me a lot. And I don't really want to get into it too much because it hurts me too hard.
He finds the humming bees to be soothing, especially since he can't tolerate loud noises due to post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, a mental condition triggered by a terrifying event.
I never knew I even had it till my mom told me after 2 years, you've got some serious problems. Says, no, I don't. Everybody else has got the problem, not me.
Counseling and his service dog help relieve some of the anxiety and stress.
Thank you very much.
But much to his surprise, working with the bees has been a lifesaver.
It's crazy how much it helps you and your family life, and it's helped me the most for the longest period of time.
Beekeeping is also helping veteran Wendy Zimmerman deal with her trauma. 25 years ago, a military colleague sexually assaulted her.
It still affects me to this day. It affected my home life, my parenting, and it can be debilitating.
Beekeeping keeps her engaged in the present.
I enjoy the teamwork. I enjoy being able to work with other people and go past some of my stumbling blocks that I have within my anxiety and not let the outside buzz of the world get in there.
You can't really focus on much else except the hives when you're in there, because you're really just really in with about 70,000 bees.
Little O says beekeeping is also giving him more confidence.
I start looking forward to, oh boy, I get to see the bees again. So I'm constantly thinking about the bees.
Deborah Block, VOA News, Manchester, New Hampshire.
Let's continue on our health theme now. Evolutionary biologists know that humans have traces of DNA that go back millions of years, well before humans were human. But thanks to some amazing new high-resolution imagery, scientists can now see how that ancient DNA shows up and then disappears in early human embryos. More from VOA's Igor Tishinenka.
Sometimes random genetic changes improve an animal's ability to survive, adapt, and therefore reproduce in its environment. That's evolution. And scientists have known for a while that as animals evolve, their genetic code carries reminders of all those random changes over millions of years. Now new research by a group of scientists at Howard University have seen evidence of those ancient genetic changes in the womb.
We have never seen human embryos like that. From the inside, we saw clearly some what you call vestigial or atavistic muscles, muscles that disappeared in the evolution of adult ancestors, but are present in the embryos.
Biologist Rui Diogo and his team used new technology that allowed them to see 3D images of human embryos and fetuses in high resolution. And what they saw was muscle development in the hands of human embryos that seemed more like the paws of ancient reptiles than the nimble hands of a human. Diogo is demonstrating a scan of a left hand of a 10-week-old human embryo.
These two muscles here, so they were lost in evolution, meaning in our ancestor adults, more than 250 million years ago.
The same structures are present in all human fetuses, as well as in modern-day lizards and salamanders.
Those are actually the only animals nowadays that have some of these muscles.
The ancient reptile muscles disappear between the 7th and 13th weeks in the womb. It shows just how powerful an engine revolution has been.
It's not easy or quick to delete things in evolution. That is the striking point also here to clearly show.
The biologist says his latest research also has medical implications.
It adds predictability.
It was once thought that severe birth defects are completely random, says Diogo, who teaches anatomy to medical students at Howard.
But actually, there is a pattern. These things that you see as vestigial in the embryos, they are the ones that will actually remain normally in people with birth defects. So if you are doing a surgery or something of a person with birth defects, you can now predict what you will probably find there.
Diogo hopes that these new imaging techniques will allow his team and other scientists to find other examples of how ancient DNA is still hanging around. Igor Tikhanenko, VOA News, Washington.
This is Science in a Minute.
An abdominal aortic aneurysm, or a bubble that forms on a weakened section of the body's largest artery, is often called a silent killer, since for many, there are really no symptoms until the aneurysm ruptures. Globally, ruptured abdominal aortic aneurysms claim over 175 lives each year. Researchers at Scotland's University of Dundee say they and their colleagues have come up with a new blood test that could improve the diagnosis and monitoring of aortic aneurysms. Currently, aneurysms are often discovered and diagnosed during routine medical examinations or through an ultrasound of the heart or abdomen. The new blood test detects desmosine, an amino acid that is released into the blood and urine by diseased aortas. Details of this new blood test were published in the Journal of the American Heart Association. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
You have been listening to VOA Asia. We thank you so much for joining us, and we extend our thanks to Director Tracy Carter, our engineer Carl Starling, our managing editor Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team of Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, and our interns Hyungan Afra. I'm Ira Melbourne in Washington. Enjoy your day and your week ahead.